Today is Thursday, June 10th, 2021. Welcome to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Pushaw, a podcast designed to help you start your daily devotion with a biblically focused intention. Here's Pastor Chuck.
Yesterday, we saw that the Bible teaches that we inherit the guilt of Adam because of his sin. But it goes beyond just that. In addition to the legal guilt that God imputes to us because of Adam's sin, we also inherit a sinful nature because of Adam's sin. This concept permeates the pages of Scripture. David in Psalm 51:5 wrote, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Psalm 51 is David's confession of his own personal sinfulness. So he's not saying that his mother sinned in bringing him forth, but that he had a sinful nature from the time of his conception. David is so overwhelmed with the consciousness of his own sin that as he looks back on his life, he realizes that he was sinful from the beginning. As far back as he can think of himself, he realizes that he has had a sinful disposition. Here is a strong statement of the inherent tendency to sin that attaches to our lives from the very beginning. That's why the psalmist said in 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth." The psalmist, as well as being divinely inspired, appeared to be an observer of human nature in the juvenile. Therefore, our nature from birth includes a disposition to sin. As you know, children do not have to be educated in wrongdoing, in being selfish. Rather, we have to teach them as parents the ways of right doing, of being unselfish. As Paul stated in Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This inherited tendency to sin does not mean that human beings are all as bad as they could be. The constraints of civil law, the expectations of family and society, and the conviction of the human conscience all provide restraining influences on sinful tendencies in our hearts. But the fact that such restraints are needed testifies to the condition of the unredeemed human nature. The common grace of God is seen in society where there are advances that enable human flourishing, such as the good done in areas of education, of scientific and technological progress, of the development of better laws and acts of human benevolence and kindness. In fact, the more Christian influence there is in society in general, the more clearly the influence of God's common grace will be seen in the lives of unbelievers as well. But in spite of the ability to do good in many senses of the word, our inherited corruption, our tendency to sin, which we receive from Adam, means that as far as God is concerned, we are not able to do anything in our own strength that truly pleases Him. Why is that? Well, first of all, in our natures, we are completely lacking in spiritual good before God. It is not just that some parts of us are sinful and other parts are pure. Rather, every part of our being is affected by sin, infected by sin. Our intellects, our emotions and desires, our hearts, our goals and motives, and even our physical bodies. When speaking of the natural man, Paul wrote this in Romans 7:18. "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not." Spiritually speaking, there is nothing of value in unredeemed people in the eyes of God. Titus 1:15, "To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled." The Bible doesn't have a very favorable opinion of unredeemed humanity. Second, in our actions, we are completely unable to do any spiritual good before God, and this idea is related to the previous one. Not only do we as sinners lack any spiritual good in ourselves, but we also lack the ability to do anything that will in itself please God, and we certainly lack the ability to come to God in our own strength. Romans 8:8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What can we do for God on our own? The answer is nothing. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Unbelievers dwell in a state of bondage to sin because, in the words of Jesus in John 8:34, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Isaiah has something to say about the best unredeemed man has to offer. Isaiah 64:6, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. In other words, everything we do in our own strength, no matter how good it is, it's like a filthy garment. And the literal meaning of filthy garment is garment of menstruation. That is the value of the best we have to offer to God before we are saved. So what does this mean for us? We can do nothing of value to God in our own strength? It means that our decision should not be to determine in our own strong, determined will that we are going to please God. It rather means that we can only please God when we admit our inability to please God and humbly surrender to His grace. May you do so in your life.
Thank you for listening to More of the Word with Pastor Chuck Pushaw. Our hope is that this program will help you kickstart your own time alone with God each day. We invite you to use it to set your mind on the things of Him. If you have any questions about this episode or other biblical matters, please feel free to email Pastor Chuck directly at chuck@broadmoor.tv.